Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we love dearly with all our hearts. We just thank you for this message being brought to you through him, for all of us here. We hope that, we'll all be receptive and absorb this message wholeheartedly. We just thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that you give us. We give the forgiveness to forgive anyone and everyone who comes in contact with us in life. And we just pray that you touch those people and bring them closer to you and make them a beacon of light, make us all beacons of light, so that we can reflect you.
Jesus Christ, man. Amen.
Thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Not just for the message, amen, too, but for the participation. We were all there a few months ago, amen, and I would ask the same thing. If anything is on your heart, questions, participations, this is the audience participation part of our program, hallelujah. And so my family's going to kind of kill me a little bit, right, because I spent like a couple hours yesterday trying to figure out how to approach and begin today's topic. Like, and I would keep coming out and asking about this. I keep coming out and asking about that and everything, you know. And then finally, I realized that what I was trying to do was just start the discussion in the middle. And when you try to start a discussion in the middle, it's really hard to try to figure out how to open it up, amen. And so I decided to go to the beginning then. Let's just go to the beginning, okay? Beloved, how close to God do you want to be? Think about it. How close to God do you want to be? Do you want to be? Like, citizen close? Right? Yeah, like Paul? Like Peter? Do you want to be like Esther, like the bride, you know? Do you want to be like how close to God do you want to be? Ezekiel, right? Do you want to be close enough for God to be like, lay on your side for 390 days? Do you want that? I mean, does it sound awesome to be close to God? And we want that. And then when we kind of think about what it's like, sacrifice, right? Do we want that? How close to God do you want to be?
For real?
For real, yeah.
I want to be there.
You want to be there?
I want to be God.
Okay.
Yeah, one.
Thank you, absolutely. Hallelujah.
I want to be a person.
Amen, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I want to be there, right? I want to be there. Do you want to be there?
Whatever God wants me to be and what he wants me to do.
Amen. So,
that is the desire of our hearts.
Right. So you want to be whatever God wants you to be, whatever, absolutely, right?
So we'll get there.
So we say amen. So we say I want God's will, right? I want to know what God's will for my life is, right? Well, I heard somebody say it's my life for God's will. Right? It's not what is your will for my life. It's my life for your will.
That's why God.
So we know how close we would like to be. How close do you actually think you are? Right? And how close do you think, you know, honestly, right? We've all been coming to church forever. Amen? How close do we want to be, and how close do we think we are?
Again, for real?
For real. Yes, for real. This is audience participation time. This is a time to think. This is a time to truly question ourselves in the Holy Spirit.
Since we're forgiven.
Yeah?
Yeah. So?
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
What's the answer?
Once the answer is, we are. We are not there yet, but we're there.
All right. All right.
But, yeah, don't take it for granted.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? So turn to John 6 and 7. And I'm and yes, because there are no wrong answers, honestly. There are no wrong answers in discussion, amen. But there's thinking and there's understanding and there's reasoning, okay? John 6 and 7, chapter 6. The word says, and a great multitude followed him. Now this is the feed, you know, this is one of the feeding of the 5,000s and the 4,000s or whatever, okay? So get that number and put that number in your head. A great multitude followed him. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on those who were diseased. And Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, truly, truly, by the way, anytime something's repeated twice, it's like, hey, take a listen, all right? Truly, truly, I say unto you, except that you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay, popping down to verse 60, many therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, and who can understand it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at this, and he says, does this offend you? Thank you, Jesus. Does this offend you? Down to 64, there are some of you who don't even believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. 65, and he said, therefore I have said unto you that no man can come unto me except it's given unto him of my Father. And 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus now said unto 12, will you also go away? Right? So this is the picture that we're beginning to paint in the questions of the friend. We see a distinct group of followers, right? The multitudes that followed him, that believed in him because of his miracles and his mercy and his feeding and everything that he did. 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000, right? A multitude of followers. We see an inner circle now of disciples, right? And we generally think of his disciples as the 12, right? But in Luke 10, we are told, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 other ones, okay? 70 of the people who were with him. And he sent them out two by two before his face in every city and every place that he knew that he was coming. And so now we see another circle forming, amen? You've got followers, disciples, then it comes down to the 12, okay? And now let's take a look at Luke 9, verse 28 and 29. It says, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up to a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment became white and glistening. Okay? So inside the 12, there's this group of three that Jesus would take with him up to the mountain to witness his transfiguration. Amen? And inside that group of three, finally, we have John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one, who leaned upon his bosom at the Last Supper. Amen? So again, let's just, you know, bring this into discussion. Where do we want to be and where do we think we are? Followers, disciples, the 12, the three, or the one? Amen? It's a serious question, amen? It's all over the word, right? Virgins, concubines, wives. Children of God, friend of God, servant of God. Okay? We can overlap a little bit, amen? But we're starting to see, because I think sometimes as a church, we get into this idea that, like, as a beehive, right, we are all, like, moving, you know, like this. Like, not as individuals with an individual relationship to Christ, but inside of a church or inside of a church body, we're like this beehive, and we're all moving closer together no matter what A is doing or B is doing or whatever. We're all moving in closer. Amen? Right? Followers, disciples, babes, those who live on milk and mature, those who eat solid food, right? There's all kinds, amen? So that's what today is, just a little bit. Just a little bit, amen? Because today was all about him, a beautiful service. But do we ever stop to think about where we are at individually? Where we're at individually? I've had congregants, praise the Lord, a few years ago I brought the Christian maturity, right? The Christian maturity series of messages. And people have asked a little bit about that or whatnot. And so, you know, there's another one, right? The different levels, the different stages of Christian maturity. Faith and knowledge and virtue and goodness and self-confidence, right? Self-patience and brotherly love and godly love, amen? We are not all there. We're not all there. Yes, we are all forgiven, yeah. Right? And so inherently, we all have the no respecter of persons place in his kingdom and in his word and in his life and in there, okay? But that is not to discount the entire rest of the Bible that says, do not let somebody else take your crown. Do not let somebody else take your reward. This reward is for those who do this, and this reward is for those who do that. And here is my table, and who's going to sit at my right hand, and who's going to sit at my left hand, and where is the bride going to be, and where are the guests going to be, and are you a citizen, or are you a follower, are you an inheritor, or are you, right? All of it. The word says all of it. And so this is not to get into a place in our lives where we're like, I'm forgiven and everything's okay, which it is, except for the fact that now what? Now what? Now what am I growing into? Amen. Now where do I want to be? Am I content with being a follower? It's okay. It's okay. Citizenry in heaven is awesome. Amen. Amen? But from a follower, do I want to become a disciple? And what does it take to become a disciple? Amen? And if I become a disciple then, and then do I want to be part of the 12, right? If I'm born again, born again means I'm born a virgin. Amen? Born again because little babies are virgins, right? If I'm born a virgin, right, what does it take to become a concubine? What does it take then to become the wife? In Esther, what does it say, right? Her beauty was seen, okay? And so she was chosen to become part of this big harem of concubines, right? But what made her bride? The word says that she took 6 months of prayer and preparation and 6 months of bathing in beautiful oils and preparing herself, right? And then when it was time to go in to see the king, all the other ladies took something with them that they loved, but she said, what does the king love? And the Holy Spirit gave her what the king loves, and she went into the king, and she pleased the king. Amen? Right? Virgins to come. So where are we? Where are we? Where do we want to be? And how do we get there? Right? That's the question that we have sometimes, or that we should have in our lives. That's the question that we should have in the church. Amen? Where are we? Because we're not all together. We are all together, but we're not all together, right? Amen? So let's start with the basic. Baby Christian or mature? Baby Christian or mature? What would our definition of a baby Christian be? Scotty.
Believer. Simple. Born again, baptized, brand new.
Okay. Anybody else? A definition of a baby Christian. You have to know, right? You have to have an idea of what it means to be a baby Christian or a mature Christian. Or, guess what? You know.
Seek the Lord.
Amen. Yes, William.
New fire, no fuel.
New fire, no fuel, huh? See, I like that. Yeah.
That's good.
Amen. Anybody else want to throw one in? Anybody want to follow that? No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord.
You grow in the Word.
Amen. There we go. There we go. Let's build on that. You grow in the Word, okay? Let's examine the Bible's definition of a baby Christian. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. These things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They cannot know them, these spiritual things, because these spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Okay? We have received, born again, right? That's where that whole thing starts. Now, he goes on to 1 Corinthians 3. Brothers, I cannot speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. So this is Paul writing. Maybe we'll get into this a little bit next week if it sounds good, okay? But he's telling his church, I cannot give you spiritual things. That's what he says. I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual, but only as unto carnal. I can only speak to you, Paul writes, as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for up till now you are not able to bear it, and guess what? Neither are you even able to bear it now. So, one of the things we got to know, we'll get into this next week, when you read Paul, you're reading stuff to baby Christians. Okay? It's a little preview of next week, hopefully. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Lord willing, praise the Lord. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time, I'm looking around, amen, praise the Lord. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of God's word. You need milk and not solid food. And here's the babes in Christ, Brother Scotty. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a child. That is a babe in Christ. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good and evil. There we have it. Let me explain. Here is the Bible's definition of a babe in Christ. Unable to distinguish between good and evil due to the inability to understand the spiritual teachings of God. Selah. Pause and reflect. I'll say it again. Unable to distinguish between good and evil due to the inability to understand the spiritual teachings of God. A babe in Christ is one who has no knowledge or wisdom of good and evil on a spiritual level, but only understands good and evil in natural terms. Amen? Thoughts? Nope. We'll go on. Now, where is spiritual knowledge of good and evil found? Yeah, absolutely. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. But not the Word in part, but in whole. For only in his word is found the differences, according to the Lord Yehovah, between the holy and the profane. The holy and the profane, the good and the evil. Spiritually discerned what is good and what is evil. Spiritually discerned what is right and what is wrong. Spiritually discerned what is holy and profane. A son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be your master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. You should be teaching my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. My priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They make no distinction between the holy and the common. They fail to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. And yet we say we have no need for Torah. But without Torah, beloved, how will you discern between the holy and the profane? How will you discern between the holy and the profane without the Torah? Listen to what Paul writes again between Galatians and Timothy. Man, this is good stuff, right? We all know that famous phrase, the law was our schoolmaster. Amen? And he goes on to say that once we come to the faith in Christ, then we no longer need a schoolmaster. Amen? We know that famous phrase. Amen? However, we must realize, okay, first, what did I say before? The things that Paul wrote, he wrote to babes. Okay? He wrote to a beginning church. He said so himself. I want to teach you spiritual things. I have not been able up to now, and I still can't as to yet. So, we must remember that. We must also remember that this was written during a time in which, as it is written in Acts, the Torah of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest of times, and it is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Unfortunately, beloved, we live in a time in which the foundational principles of holy and profane are not widely understood. We live in a time in which holy and profane are understood on a purely natural level. Amen? And that is babes in Christ. Hallelujah. What is good and evil has been relegated to a natural understanding of the concepts of good and evil, and not understood on a spiritual level. Okay? Which is why I prayed, amen, and this is just in conversation and in this church, hallelujah, between us, because as we're teaching and we're learning, amen, which is why I prayed what I prayed for Aaron. Because I am, you know what I mean? Let's just use that as an example. Praise the Lord. You brought it. Nothing happens by coincidence, all right? But you said that Aaron knows the Bible back and forth, amen? And he's had hard times, but he's coming to the Lord, and his girl loves the Lord, and, right? But they're not married, and they're having sex, amen? And we treat that, okay? We don't want to come against them, hallelujah. But on the same token, we treat that as if that is okay. That is a natural understanding of good and bad. Amen? It is not holy. It is profane. And, like, we don't want to, like, push them away. You know what I mean? But I prayed what I prayed for them so that the holy and the profane would be understood. Amen? Amen. That's just an example. I am not coming against them because we need to bring these messages in love. And I'm trying to bring this message in love. I hope it's coming out in love because I love you, right? I want us all to just look in our hearts and be like, okay, where am I? Where am I going? How do I get there? Amen? For a time such as this, Paul writes in Timothy. Now here's something else that Paul said. You ready? For a time such as this. Paul writes this in Timothy. We know that Torah is good. We know that Torah is good. Wait a minute. I've always been told we don't need Torah. Sorry. Paul says we know that Torah is good, provided one uses it in the way that Torah itself intends to be used. Okay? So, because we are aware that Torah is not for a person who is righteous, but for those who are heedless of it, rebellious, ungodly, sinful, unholy, profane, for people who kill their fathers and their mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral, both heterosexual and homosexual, slave dealers, liars, perjurers, and anyone who acts contrary to sound doctrine. That's who Torah is for. Were we watching yesterday? Amen? In other words, Paul. Yes, Paul. That Paul. Right? The freedom Paul. That Paul advocates that the teaching of Torah is for those who do not know their Torah. King James Version puts it this way. The law is made for the lawless. Boom. Amen.
Amen, amen.
That's the end. That's the end of that today. Hallelujah. But amen. Let's close there. Okay? Let's close there because we've had quite a bit to think about in that. Amen? Right? Enough to chew on for this week.